We're talking Teletubbies. Tinky Winky, Dipsy,
disagrees with you, they're gaslighting you. And right. Yes, people do gaslight people. Yes, it does happen. But is it every day?
Right. Yeah, like is Jonah Hill a narcissistic abuser, or is he just an insecure little man? Like, can we just go back to just calling people like insecure little boys? Like, maybe not everything has to be a DSM definition. Maybe you're an insecure little boy. Maybe.
And, or you maybe know, you're just an asshole.
Well, yeah, that's nothing. Maybe that's you're a dick. Thing. Maybe you're a terrible person. Maybe that's it.
That, you know? I read this theory also by this psychologist. I completely forgot his name. But he was saying that he actually doesn't disagree. He actually doesn't agree that narcissism is like a neurosis or like a character disorder or like any type of illness, because in his words, you cannot diagnose someone for being an asshole. You cannot diagnose someone for being a jerk.
Right.
In his words. And I thought that was really interesting. I feel like I don't know enough about narcissism to like weigh in on that. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's like, to what extent, this is now we're getting really spicy.
Yeah.
To what extent are people mentally ill versus just terrible people?
Well,
where do
I
we
think
draw the line?
A lot of experts in the field, which is sort of how I was taught at college, is that there's no point in attempting to differentiate, because a clinical issue and a behavioral issue affect you the exact same way. So like, if you're dealing with someone with borderline personality disorder, they both have borderline personality disorder and are being an asshole. It doesn't, like, as the person experiencing it doesn't make a difference to you. So there actually is no point of mulling over where, like, what is the clinical issue versus what is the behavioral issue? It's all affecting me the exact same way. But something I find really interesting about the Jonah Hill situation is he actually did a whole documentary about his therapist and about how much therapy helped him and helped him grow as a man. And it was his whole rollout. Like a few months ago, he did this whole extensive documentary with his therapist and about how this man has changed my life. And it's like, this was the advice he was giving that nigga. Like, there's something about therapy that we refuse to say out loud, which is that it is the ultimate neoliberal institution, and in that if I am a successful LA therapist and Jonah Hill is paying me $6,000 an hour to give him advice about his relationship, what the fuck do you think I'm going to tell him? Because if I tell him that he's actually being a toxic, controlling, insecure little boy, do you think he's going to come back to me next week? No. So, like, this idea that we've deified therapy as this thing that has transcended capitalism and all therapists are these good faith actors that only have their clients' best interests at heart is so naive. Like, I went to school to be a therapist, and a big thing that turned me off from it is just like, oh, I'm dependent on keeping these clients, but yet I'm still supposed to be honest with them. And by the way, like a lot of therapists only have a handful of clients. So like every single person that they lose can potentially affect their ability to pay their rent, their ability to pay their mortgage, their ability to pay their child's private school tuition. You think they're going to keep it a bean? You think they're going to be completely honest with you when their ability to feed themselves is based off their ability to make you feel better? It's and I'm not trying to like come for all therapists. I'm saying that there is a flaw in the structure of this industry, which is just a flaw with the profit incentive generally, where it's why would I give you good advice as opposed to shit that just makes you feel better? You know what I mean?
It's how I feel about medicine generally, where it's like, yeah, so many doctors have actively fucked me.
Right.
Because why would they heal me when they profit off of me coming back because I'm sick? And it's like, yeah, I mean, especially with women, it's like, this is our plight. Like those of us who have like endocrine disorders, it's like, yeah, no one ever, they just give you the birth control pill. And then in fucking 5 years, you have cysts on your ovaries. And you're just permanently fucked because the pill fucked, because they were too lazy or just didn't give enough of a fuck to actually get down to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
And I also am like starting to look at the therapy in the realm of psychology with that skeptical eye of just being like, yeah, maybe the reason you guys never helped me is because if you did then you'd be out of a job.
Right. There's this show called Ozark, which is pretty good. People should watch it. And the husband and the wife are having marital issues, and they get a couples therapist. And what they both end up doing is secretly paying the couple's therapist while the other one isn't looking to side with them in their arguments.
Wow.
And then they eventually just find out that they've just both been paying the therapist to make to gaslight the other person. And it's like, how is that not the logical conclusion of therapy under like a capitalist neoliberal system? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just going to be both people paying more and more money to feel as if they're the more emotionally mature one, as if they're the more healed one, and the other one is this toxic delusional idiot. And I think what we have now, and it's so present in the Jonah Hill situation, right, is a lot of mean ideas, mean feelings expressed in a very kind way. And that is the real consequence of therapy speak, of a society that is now obsessed with this construct. We haven't really forced people to change because money is really the only thing that makes people change, right? And what we've allowed them to do is express their very mean, controlling ideas in a very nice sounding way. And when we look at this in 20 years, when we look back, we will accept that like that was really the only thing that changed. The only thing that has changed between Jonah Hill in 2023 and a 1950s husband is the tone. And and that tone, by the way, which is something I really wanted to talk to you about. It's a tone that I don't even like. It's actually a tone that I find very, very cold and mean in and of itself. Like when I'm in an argument with someone and things are getting heated, I know like name calling and screaming is very hurtful and stuff. But when someone adopts a very clinical professional tone during an argument, I feel very like distance from them. I'm almost like offended by that. Like I would rather
it's
scream
like
it out.
It's like patronizing.
Yeah. So it's like when you're in an argument with someone and then someone is like, you know, I understand how you feel and I'm really sorry that that made you feel that way. But like, I just think that it's like, well, now I feel like cold. I feel coldness from you. I feel distance from you. We were having like a human experience. Like, sure, we were yelling and it was toxic and whatever, but at least we were like treating each other like humans, and we were at least close, even in this dysfunction. When people adopt this hyper-clinical professional language, I find it to be so counterproductive because we're like creating more distance. And sometimes distance can be good. Like sometimes you really do need distance for like something to not escalate into violence or emotional violence. But there is something about it that feels so counterproductive. Like we're distancing ourselves.
It's because it's passive aggressive.
It's passive aggressive. And it's also like we're just distancing ourselves. And the thing that caused this rift in the first place was distance. So it's like now you're hyper medicalizing the situation. You're creating such a cold environment that it's like, well, now I feel even more distance from you. I just don't really find any of this productive so much as just a means of rebranding a bunch of shit that we were going to do anyway, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And yeah, it's, I think that, you know how I was saying in a previous episode that romantic relationships take on the form of the economic systems that they're in.
Yeah.
I think that like we're at this point of late stage capitalism. You know, when you're at work and someone sends you an annoying email, one of your coworkers sends you an annoying email to send something that you've already sent.
Yeah.
And then you respond with, as per my last email.
Right, right.
As per my previous email. I think we've taken that because like the workspace is a space where emotions are not welcome. Like, like confrontation is just not allowed. You know, like genuine confrontation and emotions are not allowed. And we spend so much time in the workspace that you just become that person who cannot express emotion and confrontation even when you get home. You spend more time at work than at home. You get up at 7, you get back home at like 5, 6 p.m. Yeah. And then you're in bed at like 9, 10, and the rest of those hours you're sleeping. It's like you spend more of your waking hours in the workplace, and so much of your personality is being molded by that culture.
Right.
And it would be impossible to ask someone to not bring that culture back home. Culture of passive aggressiveness, yes. Of like cold, emotionless, confrontationless, you know? Absolutely.
It's so interesting that you say this, because something I've been thinking about a lot is just how white culture generally is professionalism, right? It is this hyper-cold, hyper-clinical speak, the same language that you're talking about, the per my last email, yeah. That polite white society shit. And the real white supremacist notion, which therapy and these institutions are wrought with, is just this idea that this white hyper-professional way of going about things is the ideal way to go about it. It is the most functional, emotionally mature way to go about expressing yourself. And to me, that is the ultimate white supremacist idea, because like, I had this friend who worked for like All Deaf Digital.
Thank you for listening to the first half of this conversation. If you're interested in listening to the rest of this conversation, you will find it on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/bobosvoid, or you can just click on the link in the description box below. So, patreon.com/bobosvoid, or just click on the description box below. Thank you.